The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And minicamp has concluded. And we'll have that full wrap-up. Andy and Paul were out there in the bubble today. That's where they had practice. Paul's still out in the field. He's talking with Darrell Revis as we speak, and he'll give us that feedback when he gets here. But we're going to be here for 2 hours from 1 to 3 o'clock Eastern, talking Patriots, wrapping up minicamp, talking about what's next for the Patriots and everything else. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Toll free, 855-PATS-500. Andy's here. You came from the bubble today, and some topics for
huge
talk.
News.
Huge news.
Huge news.
Yeah.
Captain America Monster Truck is here, and I got to take a picture in it.
Oh, cool.
I tweeted it out.
All right.
I think they placed it right at the bottom of the steps leading from the practice fields to Gillette Stadium to maybe entice some players in photos, Twitter, a little buzz.
Yeah.
Maybe get some walk-up sales, because, by the way, tickets are still available for the Saturday night
Monster
Jam event. I am.
You're going?
But no, the news of the day, Dominic Easley on the field.
Oh.
And as far as we could tell, we had shortened access today. It was about 40 minutes, taking part fully in drills. You know, he was doing the defensive line drills, firing out of his stance, cutting left, cutting right.
He was firing, cutting.
He was bursting and exploding.
Wow.
I would deem him bursting and exploding out of his stance. And, you know, I mean, taking reps right after Will Fork and those guys.
So he is further along than Gronkowski is.
I'm not willing to say that.
Oh.
It appears that way, and he should be. He should be, what is it, late September, so October,
right.
November,
right.
You know. 3 months ahead, maybe-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was out there taking part fully.
Okay.
And that is certainly the news of the day. The sub-news of the day, I would say.
Before we move on from Easley, was there anything noticeable about him? Like, well, he's quicker than the other guys, or he's, you know, is there anything?
You may read that. Right. I think it's presumptuous
and
premature.
It's like when we saw Bethel Johnson for the first time.
No.
Like, oh, he's fast.
He's fast. He's quick. But, I mean, they were working on stance, and he was being, you know, Brendan Daly was telling him to do some different things. I mean, this is the first time he's fired out of a stance as a Patriot. He's, like, learning what they want. He did have a right, I'll say a surgical sock or sleeve on his right knee, leg, that whole thing. So, you know, that's really the only noticeable thing. Like, that you could tell. No knee brace, no.
Was he still walking the same way that he walked when he came out?
I didn't notice that. I still think that was boxer shorts riding up on him in a suit.
Yeah.
I still go with that. I don't think that was a limp.
Okay. You don't think he's a little knock-kneed?
I didn't notice it today.
Okay, good.
I didn't notice anything
good.
Negative today.
All right.
One thing I did notice, large gold chain around his neck. Just random things that I noticed.
Okay.
But second news, Darrell Revis was on the field taking part fully in the drills that we saw.
He wasn't there yesterday.
He was there very, very early and then left.
Yeah.
And then other players, sort of a differentiation of some of the injured or rehabbing players, Slater, Gronkowski, and Logan Mankins were out there for pre-practice, running, stretching, and then stayed and watched the offense do some things as we were starting to depart. Whereas Ryan Mallett was with a second group that left and actually went on the outdoor practice field and did some rehab work out there. So there were sort of two different groups.
Guys at various stages of rehab.
Yes. Various states of participation, as Bill likes to say.
Okay.
I actually spent a lot of time watching, not just Easley in that group, but Daly, the new coach, who technically I believe is a defensive assistant, but would appear to be the defensive line coach. Interesting, young, energetic coach, you know, setting drills up and really banging the bag, showing what he wanted, doing different things. Did not seem to be a yeller or a vulgarity guy in the short. You know, I blogged about this a little bit. Usually you can tell. I mean, guys who swear usually swear pretty frequently. So yep. You watch him for a half hour, you'd hear. Didn't hear that from him, but certainly seemed seems confident, comfortable, not quiet, was telling Will Fork to do a little something different, telling Ninkovich that he did something wrong and fixing that. So didn't seem to bow down or anything to the veteran players. So that was sort of my first up-close experience with him.
Yep.
No Boyce out there. Not surprising after he apparently tweaked a knee or a leg yesterday didn't take part in the rest of the practice. Got hurt or nicked up right about at the end of stretching form run, like not even really into practice. And the doctors looked at him, did some of the ACL, MCL normal tests they always do with knees. And then he just watched the rest of practice with a slight limp, I would say.
Okay. All right.
Anything notable? Not really. We talked to Bill yesterday. He said nothing.
Why the bubble?
I don't know. I'm going to go with I don't know. We were told that the shortened session for us, after that, they were going to do some sort of a conditioning test slash run slash that we didn't get to watch. So maybe they prefer to do that in there or something.
It's kind of odd having a conditioning run at the end of your mini camp.
Well, I'm wondering if it's here's where you finish. You better damn well start here or better next time.
So everyone gets their baseline?
Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of would be that type of reason.
You better not be any worse than this.
Because the message, Brady said it yesterday, Bill has sort of, this isn't a vacation time, you know, this is a time away, but you are expected to come back ready to go.
Okay.
And maybe this is that, and sort of show where you are. Yeah. One other note, interesting, I don't know if you've been out there, there's a big sandbox in the practice bubble.
Oh, yeah, that's been there for a couple years, actually.
Oh, it's the first time I've seen it.
It's a training.
Well, that's what I figured. Kind of like the beach. Yeah, it's the beach. Drills and rehab.
They train on it.
Right.
The Revs use it a lot, too.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been there for a couple of years.
Kid's dream. I guess I haven't been in the, we haven't been in the bubble much.
Yeah.
They've practiced outdoors primarily for like two years now. Yep. The elements, the rain, they've stayed outside a lot. Plus, Eric does the work in season, and, you know, God forbid he report on anything notable in there.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's a good wrap up there. Anything?
Yeah, today was not an overly eventful, interesting
anything
day.
Left over from yesterday you want to bring up?
Yesterday. We did. You mentioned this off air. Seattle had a scuffle between Richard Sherman and one of the receivers.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of that yesterday. A couple of young players kind of got overly physical, a receiver and a DB and a little swing. Nothing to that extent. But so there was a little competitive juice flowing.
That seems to be like the one place where, I don't want to call it contact, where guys can get mixed up on the edges.
Because there's some clutching. There's some, you know, you grab a shirt. The guy doesn't want you grabbing his shirt. You don't let go of his shirt.
Right.
That kind of thing. So the offensive line continued to move around a bit yesterday, saw a lot more, and we talked about this on Tuesday. Vollmer was taking more reps at right tackle. Cannon was taking left tackle backup reps after Solder reps, and Fleming was taking reps at both, but a lot of right tackle reps. So they're still sort of formulating that.
Yep.
Garoppolo had some issues with snaps with, Braxton Cave yesterday, and they stayed out very late working on snaps together because
shotgun or under the
center? Under the center, because they had a problem on a running play. The ball was on the ground, and they had to run a penalty lap. And then I noticed during interviews they stayed out. Brady stayed out very late yesterday doing some conditioning work with Harold Nash, tethered up for some resistance. He was doing runnings forward, backwards, sideways, doing a lot of extra work before he actually spoke with the media yesterday. Kembrell Tompkins I don't know if you recall, I was a little down on him early in OTAs. He's come on a little of late,
right,
and had a really nice touchdown over Brandon Browner.
But, you know, here's the thing with Tompkins, is I was thinking of this yesterday because I was reading the reports and, you know, people said, geez, he's really making the most of his reps. You know, he did the same thing last year.
Right.
He did the exact same thing last
year. Correct.
You know?
And I, there's no doubt, part of my assessment of him, I hold what I saw from him in the regular season against him. I didn't think he performed all that well for most of the year and faded as the year went on, got worse,
right,
not better.
Right.
So, but, and I thought he picked up there in the beginning of OTAs. There were too many drops, sort of not on the same page or looking a little out of play. Remember that last, he kind of had the Ocho Cinco. It just didn't look right. Like the timing was off on different things with him.
Yep.
I thought yesterday he looked a little bit better, and certainly the play was very nice. Now it has me going the other way. I was excited on Tuesday about Brandon Browner's length and, a fade in the back left corner of the end zone where you have positioning and you got beat by Kenbrell Tompkins doesn't make me feel good. Feels, now I feel worse about Brandon Browner. You know me, I ride a roller coaster.
Yeah, but, you know, Tompkins, I remember in training camp last year, people were like, wow, you know, he's making the most of his chances and he had his chances because other guys were hurt or
and
whatever.
And that's kind of what it is now.
Yeah.
My guess is a lot of three receiver sets, it's been Amendola, Edelman, and Tompkins. My guess is that would be Dobson if Dobson weren't out with the foot injury.
Or LaFell.
Or LaFell even.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So it's quite possible he was third man into that slot that's getting these reps.
Right.
But that's his, but, now that's his opportunity
right.
to take
it. And the good thing about that is you see that he can do it. The bad thing is he's not able to, or not consistently do it.
Well, to me, he looks like one of, you know how they always say everybody's got talent and it's, you know, doing it consistently and proving
you've
been,
that's what
he feels like the guy
guys.
That isn't going to be able to do it consistently and separate himself.
Yeah.
And you'll always say, yeah, he had something, but it wasn't enough.
But like you said yesterday, you know, or Paul might have said about the quarterbacks, they're all at a certain level.
Right.
But it's the guys that can put it together on a consistent basis that become starters in this league.
Garoppolo did not have a great day yesterday.
No.
Took a step back.
I didn't think so.
Was not throwing the ball well. A lot of balls hitting. The defense was touching the ball first with alarming regularity, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of really tight coverage. And remember, Revis wasn't out there either. So, you know, there were even Kyle Arrington was out there, Logan Ryan, even Tavon Wilson were getting seemingly extra reps. And he threw a couple interceptions to Swanson, a young defensive back, one on a tipped ball, one on a play deep down the right sideline. So there's, it wasn't a great day for Jimmy. Jimmy got reps, but Jimmy didn't maximize them.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, he threw into some tight windows yesterday, a lot of tipped balls, a lot of balls
but
on
that,
the ground.
He's going to have to do that.
Oh,
you can't always just check down Charlie.
Which, you know, we thought, well, at least I thought, it wasn't a matter of release or anything or telegraphing throws. It was just decision. Got to get rid of that ball, you know, sooner.
And there's that whole thing. You can't throw when he's open. You got to throw
before
he's open.
Before he's open. Anticipate.
Right. And another thing I've talked a lot about is the lack of weapons.
Sure.
When he takes reps. I mean,
you have to take that into consideration.
It's a serious lack of weapons.
Yeah.
I'm starting. I mean, James Devlin has looked good at tight end, which is scary. He should not look as good as he has because he shouldn't be the best tight end out there. And I'm not sure right now he's not. You know, who man is rarely open. Devlin's had touchdowns each of the last couple practices and looked pretty comfortable to me.
Okay.
I like him too, though. Isn't he just like one of those, like, the all lunch pail team or the,
right.
He's one of those guys. You just, you know, defensive lineman. Now he's a fullback. Now he's a tight end. He's a nice guy. You talk to him and he's just kind of enjoying
Paul doesn't like him.
Right.
He's
he
like,
won't like him.
He's like Brock Holt.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Brock Holt. But Brock Holt could be the next phenom.
And Brock Holt was more productive than people want to give him credit for. I mean, you look at his, he batted 300 multiple times in the minor leagues. He just wasn't projected as a great player, but he was productive when given opportunities at lower levels.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm rooting for Jimmy Devlin to be, to maximize his opportunities wherever they may come.
Okay. Got a lot of emails coming in, at webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Let's take one email before we get to the phone calls. Haynes in Houston writes in, with the terrifying image emerging from minicamp that the number two tight end battle may be between a player who's caught only 17 passes the past 2 years in Hooman and a fullback in James Devlin, I have to ask, what is the probability that our opening day backup at tight end is not yet on the roster? And P.S., I met you last year, Fred, at the party before the Texans game, and you encouraged me to start emailing the show this season.
So here he is.
There he is.
I'm going to say 67%.
That it's not on, so they're going to bring somebody in.
I'm going down with the Dustin Keller ship. I'm just going down with it.
Right.
I think Dustin Keller is going to be the backup tight end. I don't know why he's not here. Unless I've missed something, I haven't seen anybody write why he's not here, or I thought after June 1 he'd be here. And
maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe he just can't pass a physical right at this point.
But if you think he's going to be here, if they're like me and they feel there's a good chance Dustin Keller is going to be our tight end, I want him here. Getting the playbook, you know, learning, meeting Brady, just, you know, building whatever, any kind of rapport all on or off the field with people, coaches.
Is there any advantage to having a wink-wink deal with him but not announcing it yet for the Patriots?
You have an extra player on the roster? You have an extra guy practicing?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like the bottom five it really matters.
I wouldn't. I mean, you have a backup long snapper. You have a backup.
Right.
I wouldn't see.
What about just letting the young guys not think that we're bringing in a veteran, you don't have a chance, and letting them have the mental belief that, you know, I got a chance to make this team. And, you know,
if they're that worried about Keller, then they're probably not your guy.
Yeah, no, probably.
I'm just
trying to think of if there is any type of advantage to not announcing somebody like Keller, who you know what he can do. He's not going to do much now because he's still kind of rehabbing, so why waste the roster spot at this point?
Yeah, I don't know.
And he could still have the freaking playbook, you know, for all we know.
Speaking of playbooks.
I mean, we end up with the Jets playbook every year, right, according to Mike Patini.
Did you click on the story to get the
full story?
Yeah.
No, but I read some of it. Somebody had some kind of a synopsis.
Because I blogged about it, and I was a little disappointed. It didn't have quite the venom that quote did.
No, I didn't even think the first quote was that bad.
No, but it was a little more fun. When you read it.
Let's let listeners know what you're talking about.
Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, formerly the defensive coordinator of the Bills last year, and then previously his basic career was under Rex Ryan with the Jets and everything. In a story with Monday Morning Quarterback, Greg Bedard, old friend, in talking about how he doesn't have an overly large playbook, said there's not a lot of graduate school type stuff in there. You know, teams like New England always seem to miraculously or mysteriously come up with your playbook anyway. And that, to me, is a little bit of a jab or whatever.
Right.
But then he went on to say that, if you remember, Wes Welker's best friend from, I believe, Texas Tech was a Jets linebackers coach. A couple years ago at Welker's wedding, Brady was there. This linebackers coach was there, and Brady bragged to the linebackers coach, supposedly, that they had the Jets defensive playbook. And Pettine said, I wasn't surprised. Rex gave him out to everybody, gave one to Nick Saban, and he tried to tell him, you know, that's Belichick's best buddy. That's probably going to end up in New England, and Rex didn't care or whatever.
Right.
So it's not really as
right. It's not
the first quote you'd like to think like CIA, and they have a guy that waits outside the door every day to slip in and steal a playbook.
Hey, look, if my team can end up with other teams' playbooks every year, that's a badge of honor. As far as I'm concerned, as long as we're not breaking in and entering.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
See, to me, the first one kind of implies something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas it isn't. It's just a way you got a playbook.
If through social means we can come up with someone's playbook,
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And you hear that sometimes. Like a guy at a hotel is a Patriots fan, and he finds a Seahawks playbook, so he mails it to the team and says, you might need this someday, like anonymous, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. But if you're breaking an entering
I'm not saying anything illegal.
It's Tom Cruise and coming down on a wire.
I'm not talking about anything illegal. But, I think all teams should make best efforts, reasonable efforts to find out what the other team's doing.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
It's not – well, is it cheating?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
forget it. I was going to bring up another incident in this, but then it brings up us.
Eventually, we'll get to, you know.
Well, no. Yeah. Actually, it's Aaron. Remember Aaron Hernandez's brother?
Yeah.
Which was the Hernandez scandal before the murders became the Hernandez scandal. Remember the brother found either a playbook or a wristband for the opposing team and used it. He didn't steal it. He found it legitimately and used it and was suspended and got in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
So there is some gray area. Is that cheating?
The
is it
person who lost it is the one that should get suspended his team.
I personally think that's how a lot of coaches look at it. You're responsible, and your ass is mine.
Exactly.
But now they're going to the iPads that are washable, essentially, from afar and wipeable.
Yeah.
So it's sort of changing.
It is. Yeah.
They're
actually, I read a story that they're going to be experimenting with replacing the photo printouts that they use on the sideline with iPads this year.
Not iPads, though, I don't think.
Oh, Surfaces? Microsoft Surfaces?
I think they paid a lot of money.
Could be.
Yeah. I think
either way, it's
It's just they're much heavier. I picked up that one on your desk. They're heavy.
They are. There's a new one out that's supposed to be a
lighter.
Lot lighter. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember? Do you remember I asked, who did I ask? But Patricia.
He loves them.
But they're also skeptical. Maybe it was Bill that was more skeptical. Maybe he gave one of the, what happens if the surface goes out? You got to get the other guy's surface to go out.
It's true. I mean, there are complications when you add technology in there don't exist.
But it's all technology.
I know, but.
They have a printer out there. They have a camera. That's all technology.
Right. But it complicates things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a famous story about who invented the Polaroid.
Well, Edward Land, was one of the guys who founded Polaroid, and he used to go door to door back in Medford. He's from Massachusetts, selling stock for his company at a penny a stock.
No, I didn't mean invented. Sorry, I misspoke. I meant the guy who used it for football. Came up recently. Who died recently?
A lot of people. People die every day.
No, but NFL related.
Well, you had
I forget. Strippers, help me out.
Chuck
Google
Knoll
it.
Died.
No, it wasn't no. Chuck Knoll.
Tony Gwynn.
Wasn't Tony Gwynn.
I know.
Google it, strippers. Somebody who died relatively recently that I didn't think of was supposedly the first to use the Polaroid and the whole view and the kind of thing from the press box, blah, blah, blah. Strippers, get back to me on that.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Liam is in North Carolina. Hey, Liam.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Great.
Hey, I'm a few weeks behind, but, when you guys had that interview with Ty Law, I don't think I've ever really touched on it much, but what he had to say about Revis in the locker room and his competitive nature really kind of gave me goosebumps, and more so than having the player on the field, just what he brings to the team in the background, I think is more exciting than anything else. I mean, great player on the field, but what he can do for everybody else on the team, I really think is probably the best value of getting him. And it'll be exciting to see what happens with that secondary with him back there.
Yes. Fred, what was your word, transformational?
Yes.
He's a transformational player, and I do believe it's both physical and I know players don't like to talk about swagger or style, or he brings some of that.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call that, he brings that. Ty Law brought that. Aqib Talib brought that.
Yeah.
He changed, I think, this defense. But Revis is better and more durable, so there's more of it.
And there's no doubt about those two things. There's a third factor that I'm not so sure about is him teaching other guys, mentoring. I don't know what he's like that way, because a guy like Ty Law, I really don't want him mentoring my young quarterbacks because he did his own thing.
Hey, and Brew, man or zone?
And he was good enough. He was good enough where he could do that.
Right.
You know? So, and Revis might be that type of player.
Right.
Or maybe he could be, you know, really a mentor. I don't know.
In all likelihood, if Alfonso Dennard plays like one of those guys, he's going to get toasted because he's not good enough.
Right. Right.
Right.
So.
But it is intriguing. Just to see, and we haven't even, I know we try to make a big deal out of all this crap and we blog about it and blah, blah, blah. We haven't seen anything from Revis. He's running around out there. We need to see pads. We need to see another team. Quite frankly, who says quite frankly? That's a crutch of somebody. Quite frankly, the Redskins week is the first week where you'll see a competitive Revis versus somebody in practice and then on the game field.
Yep.
And was he back out there in practice today?
He was indeed.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I guess
your mic is not on, Paul. Paul's here, but it's the best show ever with Paul. His mic's not on.
The rumor yesterday with Revis was that he had an illness. It wasn't an injury.
Yeah, he wouldn't get into why he wasn't out there, but he spoke at length. He spoke for probably don't know, somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes. He spoke for a long time.
Well, obviously, the guys that are out there practicing are practicing, and the guys that aren't.
Well, that's true. And
I never thought of that.
And he said, well, you should think more like the coach. he said that we can, you know, just like a little example of what you guys are talking about. I overheard you guys talking about the swagger and sort of the, not just the ability that Revis has, but sort of his place.
Air of greatness.
Just the way he said, he said, you know, I'll leave the injury reports to Bill. And you know, a lot of other guys would have said Coach Belichick or, you know, or Coach.
Right. Revis, you're lucky, you know, he didn't say the a-hole.
He just said Bill. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't disrespectful anyway, but to me it was spoken from a guy who felt like I have the, you know,
he's his equal
presence
on
that
some
I can
level.
Say that.
Sure,
we'll both be in Canton somewhere. Okay. We'll have bus near each other in Canton someday, so I feel like I can call him Bill.
Right. All right, thanks, Liam, for the call. Let's go down to North Carolina.
Wellington Mara is the answer for the Polaroid question.
Jason from North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Jason.
What was the question? First use
Polaroid. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
They got it wrong. It's not North Carolina. It's Tallahassee, Florida.
Florida.
You're terrible.
I don't know how Kevin got North Carolina out of Tallahassee.
I thought he said North Carolina. Sorry.
All right.
How does Tallahassee
sound
like
the most important thing?
North Carolina. Like, yeah. They're not even close in any way.
Jason, you're lucky you're on the line. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to ask this question. Well, I got two questions to ask you guys. You know, I know Bill Belichick is a great coach. But to me, he's not that great of a personnel manager. With a slew of bad free agent signings and terrible draft picks, look, Rutgers are not the only college team that puts out good NFL players. You know, what do you guys think about that?
Well, he moved on to Florida this year.
I hear what you're saying. A lot of people agree with you, so you're not alone in your judgment. I just think everybody screws up. I think Bill might get stuck with his Florida schools and his Rutgers schools. But at the end of the day, it's some total of it, of what he does, works.
I don't mean to be the a-hole, but the question of, well, who do you want? Who's better? Who would you rather have? And we've talked about this before. It's a small group of guys you get to pick from. Because most of the crappy guys wash out and you forget about
them. And everybody
them.
Says, like, Ozzie Newsome, and he's good too.
Right, and Kevin Colbert, and Ted Thompson. It's a small group of guys who've been running their draft rooms for 8, 10, 12 years that you could compare and contrast.
And I don't want any of them unless Belichick is coaching the players.
Right, and you can't.
See, that's the key.
You
is
need
even
to get Ozzie.
Even if there are some of the picks that we don't agree with, and that's why I've been a little defensive of Belichick, and Andy makes fun of me.
Well, he's a very, very good draft
pick. It is the ability to coach the players too that can't be ignored. And Jason's right. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, sort of love the coach, but, you know, a little bit more skeptical of the GM.
And it's, you know, the thing is, if you love Ozzie Newsome, go through and look at his picks and everything he does, and you're going to find his misses too.
Sergio Kindle.
You know?
But the problem is, we have no talent on the field. I mean, we don't have any talent. We don't have, right now, I mean, is there really five Pro Bowl starters out there right now?
I think potential there are. Absolutely.
Well, there's five that have been to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, Revis, Mayo, Wilfork, Brady, Mankins.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, now, they're hurt, they're older, whatever. Maybe they're not Pro Bowl Mankins. Maybe you don't think he's a Pro Bowler anymore, but they have multiple Pro Bowl starters, and the hope is that, you know, Hightower,
Jones.
Collins, Jones,
right.
so-and-so are on that track. If they're not, okay, well, that's an issue too. Like Hightower. A lot of people are, you know, is he going to be good? Is he just a guy? But there are question marks there, but I think the utter lack of talent is almost as ridiculous as people always saying they automatically have the greatest roster in football. The truth is somewhere in the middle. They have talent on their roster. They have holes in their roster.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
When we get to the playoffs, that comes evident that we don't have enough talent, especially at the receiver spot, especially at we improved the back end of our defense. That becomes evident when we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs.
It certainly did last year. You're absolutely right. They ended the season because, you know, Gronkowski wasn't out there, but they ended the season without an offense.
Right.
You know, so you're
and
right
there. And there was less of a net last year. You've ended the year without Gronkowski for a few years now, and that's been problematic because he's the most important player. But last year you had even less to work with when he wasn't out there, and it really fell apart.
Yeah.
And you also had the other stuff. You had Mayo and Wilfork and those guys
Hernandez,
on defense.
Yeah.
So, I just think I don't think personally it's as bad now as it was a few years ago when people said, I hate the GM bill and I like the coach bill. I think bill is better now than he, you know, looking at the details.
Well, Pioli left in 09.
I think some of the picks that you want to look at, Chandler Jones and Hightower and Dominique Easley, and that there's Jamie Collins. There's some talented guys that have been
like Jamie Collins or Cunningham.
Right. I mean, to me,
it feels like Jamie Collins is a better player.
Is a better athlete, a better player.
Right? I can't remember the game. I know people want to say it was that Colts game. Well, show me the Cunningham game that was even like that Colts game.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a play.
Even though you know he's going to be a stud for the Jets.
I can think of a play here or there. Not a game here or there for Cunningham.
He lives off James Sanders' nice interception. I feel like we've turned the corner, if there's such a thing as with his drafting, a good, a bad, a corner, a low point and a high point. To me, it doesn't feel as low as it once was a couple years ago.
Right. Christian wants to know, with Easley being out there, is he signed?
I do not know.
Yeah, I don't think that's been announced if he has.
It is not that we know
of. Everybody except Easley is signed.
Well, he was down to one of nine in the league.
There's only nine players total, I believe, that are unsigned.
In the league?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Not first rounders in the league.
Overall.
Wow. Overall.
Wow.
But just because he's out there doesn't mean he's signed either.
That's what I'm saying.
But he may not. He may or may not.
Yeah.
We may get a release
but
during the show.
There hasn't been an announcement.
There is no official announcement. I have not even seen a report of someone saying, according to the
agent. Nor have I, but I'm not overly concerned about it either because the way these contracts just sort of slot in.
Right.
I know there's some different things that I don't really understand totally, to be honest with you.
The offset language.
Offset language with the first round picks. Some injury protection, might affect the guaranteed money or whatnot. I don't know exactly what the haggle points are right now, but I'm not overly concerned about it. Sorry to keep you up. Revis and Wilfork both spoke for long periods of time. I didn't catch as much of Revis as I did Vince. Some funny things. First, I'll start off with a lighthearted note. It was a pretty significant delay before the players came out of the bubble that we were all waiting for them. And while we were waiting, there were several loud cheers and sort of chants going on inside the bubble. And Vince told us that Bill brought out some soccer balls at the end of practice. They were kicking it around, and it did sound like one of those, European ole, ole, ole chants going on in there. So they said they had some fun with that. Vince stayed away from the soccer ball, not even goalie. That ball moves too fast. He stick to the real football, and then he said, I'll stick to American football. very savvy, veteran move. He corrected himself
all
right away.
All of a sudden, you got hooligans waiting at your back door.
Right. Corrected himself right away.
So World Cup fever has hit Foxborough.
Yeah, he was asked some questions about, some different things in terms of his contract and, his off season. Most of it at the beginning was injury related. He says he feels great. He's coming along. Would not have come back here, in terms of the restructure if he didn't believe in what was happening here. And he feels like everything happens for a reason. And, if I didn't get drafted and then, he was asked a follow-up. Did you ever think that this was it? If you would be a Patriot? And he said, if ifs were fifths, then we'd all be drunk.
Oh.
And he got a big, big rise. Big rise out of the horde around him.
Right. Not Paul, though. Paul doesn't like
it. No, I thought that was good. I never heard that phrase before. Am I the only one that never heard that? Because a lot of those little phrases that you guys use that I never heard of and you teach me, is that one of them?
I don't even really
I've
know
never
what
heard
if,
that
if
one.
If ifs were fifths, I had
I
never
mean, I've heard,
heard
of
one.
Ifs and buts were candy
and nuts.
Yeah.
We have Peter King saying that.
Oh, is that what he says?
No, he said it in here.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. This would be a good time to play that drop if he wasn't playing solitaire. But
he's not even listening, I don't
know. No, he isn't.
What is a fifth exactly?
Fifth is a portion of liquor.
Because I don't know exactly what Eminem raps about it all the time. It's a common lyrical thing.
I thought it was a shot.
Well, it could be, but it's a measurement of liquor.
Yeah, I thought it was like a fifth of a liter or something.
The measurement is not a shot.
I think it's more than that.
Well, I mean, like if you're doing a drink recipe, a shot is a measurement.
Yes.
A shot is a universal.
But I thought a fifth was a small bottle of some sort.
I think it is too. Yeah. Yeah,
like a fifth of a liter or
something like
that—a
fifth of a quart, maybe. Yeah,
yeah, that's a 20th of a quart. Math.
So he, he's pretty excited. He feels good physically. He's saying, never had any doubts that he would be coming back. He knows about all the stats and guys his size coming back from the injury, but you know he's worked hard with his rehab and he feels good about where he is right now.
How does he look?
Looking forward to getting back.
He looks good.
He's looking forward to getting the pads on in camp and getting at it. He wants to get at it. So he sounded, you know, a little bit rejuvenated. Not unlike a lot of veterans that get hurt with a serious injury, one of their only serious injuries. Talking about being away and how better appreciation.
If he wants to continue his career, this is a big year for him, Will Fort.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to show not just the Patriots, but anyone else that might be interested that, hey, I've got a few more years left in me.
Yep. I do think he's looked pretty good out there. I haven't.
He's moved around. You know, I don't think you'd be able to tell that he's dealing with something significant way he's moved around.
Nope.
Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Wyatt, the Alaskan Cowboy, writes in, Tuesday's show was great. Andy came out making fun of Fred's opening. Seemed like the same opening every day. And Andy worried for his life getting killed by Eric. But seriously, we have all these tackles this year. Are we going to have lots of depth or rotation on the D-line? I think the rotation is definite.
Well, rotation is ideal, and I would do the Belichick depth in June is not necessarily depth ever.
I don't think that they feel real comfortable with their, quote, depth at defensive tackle, to be honest with you.
But it's how you look at it. Compared to last year, late in the year, they have immense depth. Because all three of those young guys, Silver Seeliga, Chris Jones, Joe Villano, are here. And those were your core defensive tackles last year.
Right.
At the very least, you're rotating in Will Fork, Kelly, Easley. I mean, you've added now what those guys are and can offer and all that. Armin Armstead, I believe yesterday, Mark Daniels wrote a very good story in the Providence Journal about Armstead and kind of piecing together circumstantial evidence, one of which was a recent court appearance, not for him, but in relation to his lawsuit and Toradol and USC and all that. And part of the filing or whatever in terms of his how much he's been hurt by what occurred there is that he is not cleared to play football right now, or as of this filing in April or May. So, and there were references to he still has clotting issues or something. And so this could go all the way back to the heart issue at USC.
Yeah.
So Armstead less and less looking like the 21st player on the roster like I had him slotted, and more looking like a guy we're never going to see.
Right. Unless the kind of not being cleared by football is more a legal thing, and he can't go out there and do anything that would contradict the lawsuit that they have in front of the court.
So you think he would be manipulating the situation to try to win his lawsuit?
No, well, not that's just that, but like if he goes out and he's perfectly healthy, then they'd be like, what are you suing us for?
Right.
Yeah.
But if he, well, first of all, I would say I'm suing you for the 2+ years that you cost me in my NFL career and my life.
This sounds a lot more complicated than we ever thought it
was. And I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. But the bottom line is I'm feeling less and less good about seeing, you know, Armand Hammer, and we're excited, and he can play inside, and he can play outside, and he was going to be this.
He's off my radar, unfortunately.
I think he should be. Yeah. Until he bloop, bloop, bloop pops up, you're gone.
Yep. LT from Adelaide writes in, just wanted to send in a quick game for you guys. Which players will have a better career between these past and present Patriots? Better career, Gerard Mayo or Teddy Bruschi? Career.
Mayo.
Really?
What's a career?
The sum total of your playing days.
I'm going to say Mayo as well.
See, you have to when you talk about career, you have to factor in success. And it's hard to...
Well, it's why I asked you. If Super Bowl rings are career, then it's Bruschi.
Right.
Then Bruschi.
If you know, looking back on my career...
Who played on better teams? Bruschi.
You know? Now let's say, who will be just simply the better player over their career?
Mayo.
I agree.
See, I get in trouble here. Bruschi made a lot of big plays, a lot of critical plays, what we talked about the other day.
In a couple of different seasons.
No, I know.
Mayo is played better over a longer period
Mayo
of time.
Mayo is a more physically talented player than Teddy Bruschi, in my opinion. But we talked about it the other day. The difference with those teams and with guys like Bruschi was the plays.
Okay.
And I don't think Mayo makes plays like that.
I think like 03, 04, Mayo will never play like Bruschi did.
So I'm qualifying this.
Well, that's why I'm asking what
But I'm going from 96 to 08 or whatever you retired. Mayo was better for over that period of time.
So I'm going to qualify this from here on in. Better player over the course of their career. Not who had the better career. Chandler Jones or Willie McGinnis? Who will be the better player over the course of their career?
I'm going to say Chandler Jones for the same reason. I think that McGinnis had some individual seasons that were very good, but I think Jones is going to be more consistent.
I'm going Willie McGinnis.
I think McGinnis might edge him. I don't know.
And you know my thoughts on Willie McGinnis.
Devin McCourty or Lawyer Malloy?
Lawyer Malloy. Yeah, I think Lawyer Malloy is a slam dunk home run.
Nate Solder or Matt Light?
Nate Solder.
That could be a push.
Nate Solder.
That could be a push.
Nate Solder.
I'm going to say Matt Light. Okay. But I think that I agree with you, Fred, but I just didn't want to cop out.
Kyle Arrington or Ellis Hobbs?
Kyle Arrington.
I think that's a slam dunk.
Unless you consider the kick returns.
Yeah, as much as Patriots fans want to just bash on Kyle Arrington, I'd still rather have him than Ellis Hobbs. Yeah,
Ellis Hobbs could not cover.
You know? Remember the way he got torched by fans when he was here?
I guess I'll go Arrington, but I don't really want either on the field.
Also, Adelaide says, LT says, I got to call out Paulie on the previous show when asked about the World Cup by Andy. Paul says, and I quote, it's another reason to criticize the sport. It's a random draw, so you can conceivably have the four very best teams in the entire world playing each other in the opening round. Later on in the show, an emailer corrects the guys on the random draw occurs from four different pots consisting of eight teams each, with one pot containing the eight highest ranked teams in the world, so they can't be in the same group, to which Paul and Andy blame Eric for the erroneous earlier statement. Classic Paul.
Andy, you want to help me out?
Well, you might have said if it's that way.
No, no. We asked. Andy and I specifically asked
Eric.
Eric
told
if
us
it
he knew what he was talking
about. He said yes.
It's all Eric's fault.
Because I asked
I like
him,
to rip Paul, but this isn't a Paul rip
I asked
time.
Him, is it a blind draw? And he said yes.
Yes.
Right. So we're basing it on bad information.
Once again, the pseudo-intellect, you know, guy who knows everything about Europe and everything global, knew nothing about which he spoke.
The rest of that happened exactly the way LT just explained.
Yes.
I mean, that was a perfect description of it, except for the fact that Eric told us it was done that way, and that's why I was made to look the fool. And Andy, Andy attacked him. I'm like, you know, I know that he doesn't make fun of him anymore, but
but it's different.
That's different. Yeah. That wasn't a personal thing.
Yeah, no.
No. Instead, he made it personal by saying, "I know you're Mr. European." And
it was a beautiful set piece. I learned the new set piece term.
It's a beautiful game.
Set piece. I've never heard that phrase before until I read the...
You've never talked to Brad Feldman, then?
Not often.
By the way, I watched that Mexico-Brazil game. That was a great game.
Was it? Great game.
0-0, but there's an example. There's an example of a 0-0 game being really, really good.
Ben Charrington made me laugh out loud this morning when he said, talking about the Red Sox offense, which has been scuffling a little bit, never good when your run score is being compared to the U.S. national team's goals.
Yeah, but... they're all of a sudden they're pitching really well. What's going on?
No, their pitching's pretty good.
Their pitching's been great all year. They can't.
They have no offense.
Scored five runs in three games and won them all.
My stat the other day was now Holt. I don't believe he had enough at bats to qualify at the time. But Bogarts was leading the team in average at like 278. The 2004 Red Sox team average was, I believe, 286 or something. The team average was better than everybody on the team now. I think they had seven or eight different guys who were above that average. It's like they used to just have a lineup. They don't have a lineup.
Callum in Toronto, as you know.
They're back.
Four out of seven.
Yeah, they are. They're typical. Ortiz hits a clutch home run and then bitches about a scoring position.
Until they get swept four games in Oakland this weekend.
I just would like to see them play, you know, let them go like 25-10 over a month and a half, and then I'll say, oh, hey, all right, maybe they're back in it now.
I actually think it's funny because
like
last
13th
year,
place.
I think everybody, except for the real homer people, I think everybody was waiting for them to suck, to fall apart.
Right.
Like that, nobody believed they were as good as they were, and they never fell apart. Now everybody thinks, when are they going to hit it? When are they going to hit stride? Everybody thinks they're better than they are, and they're not. They're more.
So
what
was
you
yesterday an
aberration? Last year was
last
an aberration.
Year was an aberration?
Yes. They're not that good.
It was a little lightning in a bottle last year. They had some career years from some guy. Even like Ortiz, I don't know how you could have expected him to play every game coming off the injury that he did and play at such a high level.
Right.
And he hasn't played at a high level this year.
Whatever happened to Joe Mauer?
He's sort of losing.
Like he was going to be the next.
He got
Mickey
hurt.
Mantle,
he had some injuries.
He
had some concussion
syndrome,
or something.
That compartmental syndrome or something like that.
He's got issues
with his legs. He's got some leg issues. He has to play first base.
Oh, okay.
Still a great hitter. I don't think he's having a good year, but
he's not. But
he's batting like 270.
Yeah.
Did you see this? The World Cup, by the way.
When the wall fell down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
a bunch of fans from Chile just decided to like storm the castle.
Bunch of Chilean sea basses.
And they broke through like some press area.
But I mean, it looked like it was made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
Like they it was like out. A it was WWE.
It was a temporary wall.
Right. It was like WWE though. The thing just gave way like it was supposed
table
to. Yeah.
Callum in Toronto, as
you
know,
just read a Callum in Toronto.
The NFL is arguably the most competitive of all major sports leagues in North America. The best argument to support the NFL's case. Oh, this is
case.
What is this? Oh, this is about new playoff teams. Do I want to read this? I guess so. All right.
Do we not have any emails today? How
no, we have
Callum
a lot.
Got back to back emails.
We have a lot. The best.
You read Callum two
no,
in a row.
I just read LT.
I did LT.
Or
and
two
LA.
Minutes ago, you read a Callum.
I started to read him, and you interrupted me.
I did
me.
Not. I never interrupt.
Yeah. The best case argument to support the NFL's case for more playoff teams is the amount of new teams that make the playoffs each year. My question to you guys is, if you had to choose three teams from both the AFC and the NFC who made the playoffs last year to not make it this year, who would they be?
Chiefs.
Also, which three teams do you think will fill in those spots who did not make it last year? I hope this launches a good debate as there are many candidates.
I think Chiefs and Panthers are two solid teams that might not make the playoffs.
I would agree with those two picks, but three from each conference?
Oh, I got to come up with six?
Yeah. We got to come up with
that's
six?
I'm 1-1 right now.
It's hard to just come up with out of nowhere. But
because it's not fair, because like one of them is going to be Seattle because Russell Wilson blows
right,
out
yeah,
his knee.
Someone, right. Someone's going to suffer.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore didn't make it last year, but one of those could make it this year.
Yeah, right. I would pick Baltimore to make it, but I wouldn't exactly say that qualifies to what he's looking for. You know, like they're looking for Kansas City. From last year, coming out of nowhere.
But you're a virtual lock.
San Diego maybe doesn't make it this year. And
well, that's a good one.
You know,
I think they did it with a little bit of smoke and mirrors.
They did.
They're done.
Maybe Miami makes it this year.
I don't think so.
I don't.
You know
so.
Why?
I don't think so.
Because every year we say Miami's going to make it.
Because AFC East stinks. They're just not very good.
In
the NFC, I like your Carolina pick.
Who else?
Philadelphia.
The Washington Football Club?
Philadelphia won't make it.
So the Giants could? They could turn it around?
Yeah. I always go down the ship with the Giants.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Eli Manning.
All you really do is go down with somebody who wins a game at 8-8 to end the season in the NFC East.
All right. So good question.
I'll say Atlanta makes the playoffs. Does that count?
Sure.
Sure.
How about the Texans? They got to turn it around?
I think the Texans will be much improved, but I don't see Ryan Fitzpatrick leading a team to the playoffs.
James writes in, do you guys think Jason Babin is a possible pickup?
Yes.
You do?
Why not?
I don't know.
Every one of these, I feel like I'm a broken record. I don't know. The two things that would concern me are how much he's looking for.
I didn't even know he was available.
Yeah, he got cut today.
Oh.
How much he's looking for and how much he has left. You have to look into those things. I would look into everybody.
I feel better not realizing that he was available if he just got cut today.
After they gave him a $500,000 bonus a couple weeks ago.
Why did they cut him? No, something must have happened.
I don't know.
You don't just cut a guy in minicamp if you gave him $500,000.
Maybe
no
he got
reason.
To a fight with Jordan Todman and they said, yeah, you got to go. He's a star.
John writes in, a fifth is a unit of volume formerly used for distilled beverages in the United States and is equal to 1/5 of a gallon.
Okay.
All right.
So it's a little less than a quart.
So there you go. Let's see.
If I drank a fifth of vodka, would I vomit?
Probably, if you drank it real quickly.
Plus, I'm kind of as you would say, pussy in terms of
drinking. Paul, what do you think about the Patriots getting all the other teams' playbooks? We have a lot of emails.
I saw
that was another
sort of Twitter created.
Yeah,
when Andy actually went and looked at the story, it wasn't quite as.
It doesn't mean I didn't try to sell it on Patriots.com's blog like it was. What did I write?
So you don't want
Browns Jets pet like, takes no, Jets no like jab at Patriots.
No, I mean I don't think there's any. Do you think there's anything there?
No.
Yeah. So
nah.
Why would you think I would?
Nah.
I'm a company guy.
Fred had. Did you see Fred's creative thing?
No.
He sent out the picture of the playbook, and what did it say? Like poopy stuff or something on the cover.
The scoop on poop.
The scoop on poop was the playbook.
And then Greg Bedard is. You guys need more new material.
Well, you've used that before?
No.
Oh.
No, but it's a shtick.
Let's see. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, says the guy who called in last show hating on Mankins, blasphemy. He's the enforcer on the O-line, McNasty, the glue that holds the line together. I'll die defending Mankins. You play a season on a torn ACL and get back to me. How's that for listener on listener crime? P.S. Eldridge is the bomb, along with Christian with a T-I-A-N and Chester, of course. So there's some listener on listener love.
Yeah, Michelle really coming to the aid of some of the mainstays on PSW.
Is his nickname really McNasty, or is she the only one who calls him that?
McNasty is
that's hockey.
Lambert and
oh, that's Mahorn. Right, that's right.
McFilthy and McNasty.
Right.
So you tell me she's the only one who calls him that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I have Mahorn and Jeff Ruland.
Mankins is a guy I could see myself running into Saturday here at Gillette Stadium for Monster Jam.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of kids, and he likes that.
I think he got a shot for that.
I'm surprised they didn't bring him down to do some announcements, you know, guest announcer or something. You know?
Maybe they have.
He didn't have the voice for it. Matt, that would be a Matt Light thing.
Right, yeah. Matt Light would definitely be doing it.
Matt, couldn't you see Matt Light whipping a crowd up into a frenzy?
Yeah. Maybe they will. You never know. There could be surprises. The woman promised me there were a couple surprises in the show.
Yeah. Toby from New York, I laughed out loud listening to last Thursday's show when you guys admitted you didn't understand the "and Andy" part of the intro. It's been something that puzzled me since the first time I heard the show, and I've always wondered why I didn't get the seemingly simple joke. Eventually, I came up with a theory. The joke stems from the fact that Andy is the word "and" with a Y stuck at the end of it, so "and Andy" kind of sounds a little funny.
I think that is part of it. Like, he said it when I started doing the show. He redid the things "and Andy," and he realized it kind of sounded funny.
I believe intellectuals like Eric would call this a homonic phrase or a harmonic phrase.
Or a homonic.
Homonymic.
You sure?
Homonymic phrase. When I first came up
now it's Irish. Homonymic phrase.
When I first came up with this, I immediately eliminated it from my mind, thinking there's no way you guys would be so corny. But now that you've admitted that there's no inside joke, I think my explanation must be the sad truth.
We also admitted that after about 12 years, we need new opens.
Kevin, who did that intro? Was that Rob Schuler?
Yeah, but that was when.
Yes.
Why don't we ask him? He did it.
You can ask him.
But that was when Gary.
You're not going to remember.
Gary put it together.
That was a Gary open, and that I think there was something to it. Because it was when
Rob
you started, and they just really wanted at the end.
It,
and
so
Andy?
Gary would have told him, I'm putting this in there
right.
for that.
I think part of it was, it like, I was new, and who's this Andy guy? And Andy, who's that? But also, I think he thought it was funny that he was saying, "and Andy." Like, it's and, back to back.
Yeah.
So now, it is harmonic.
Well, there's one intro that had, you know, an Eric for now.
For now, anyway.
Well, right, because I wanted to get rid of it.
But that's because we were going to put him on.
Right.
You know, the Rook and the Queen.
Right.
Yeah. And then all the surveys came in and said he's ruining that show, much like he ruins this one.
But he doesn't.
So you deported him. So, yeah, we sent him to a Budapestian prison.
No, but we're
Budapest.
I'm redoing some of the opens with not movie clips, but, like, just show sound. So when I when I lay out the
bed.
We have to introduce we have to introduce you guys.
Right.
I can get rid of the Ian Andy, that's fine. But I just didn't want to like piss
people. I don't really
off.
Care. I just don't think anybody really gets it or has any value in it.
Well,
so
if nobody
time to
if nobody cares then
right.
I don't mind the Ian Andy. It's like it's a little thing.
Why don't we just say plus Andy?
Why don't we say Andy and a couple other guys?
Which is basically what the show breaks down
that
to.
That look was great.
Am I wrong on that, Fred?
Sure.
By the way, something demoralizing.
Me having to go to the doctor's today?
Oh, did you
get yelled at?
Did you get canceled on a radio show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Guess who is replacing me, and guess why?
Old friend, Mike Giardi.
I don't know.
Mike Giardi.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to talk soccer tomorrow afternoon, and
he knows soccer?
He's a soccer guy.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he knows soccer. He pretends he knows soccer. There's a difference. There's a lot of people that pretend they know soccer that don't know crap about soccer. He pretends he knows soccer. And I got kicked to the curb.
One of the reasons why a lot of kids these days know a lot of European players, it's because of FIFA, the video game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
You know?
My son's soccer team, they all play that game all the time.
But that even goes back a little further than
that. Oh, it does.
Now.
Like, absolutely.
Players in this lot, you know, the guys that are like 20 have been playing it.
Ocho 21. Cinco used to brag about it all the time.
That's a popular soccer game.
I mean, there's no better way to learn the names of these guys than that video game.
Right. You know, which one of them is sucking, or already has sucked?
I don't know.
Because there was like talk of how a bunch of the stars have lived up to it, had goals and key plays, and then one of them has done nothing. Is it somebody from Spain and they lost? Because
Spain's out.
I don't know.
I wonder who's their star. Who's the Spanish star?
I
thought you were a soccer guy.
Ronaldo is probably going to miss the U.S. game.
Oh,
he's Portugal.
For Portugal,
right?
Yeah. And obviously he didn't score because they got shut out in their game. So yeah, maybe he was one of them.
I thought you knew soccer. I won't ask any more questions. Nope.
Knockware, a.k.a. Q, in Chicago. As
Knockware?
Always,
how do you spell that?
N-A-K-W-A-R-E. Knockware could be.
Knockware. Knockware, a.k.a. Q.
As always, your show is great on keeping us entertained during these dog days of summer, so thanks for that. I've got three questions of love.
Sorry, Paul, I didn't want to keep
going. Oh, I'd love, I think he means, to get your
opinions on. I'm still
worried
about my dog. I got to go, actually.
One, where are you going?
I got a doctor's appointment. I'm going
to
get you.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Can you play Taps?
Yeah. I haven't been to the doctor in a while, and this is the first time I'm going to see this particular doctor. Yeah. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know. Like,
don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my blood work always came back pretty good. I always had really good blood pressure. You know, cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds, you know. And we had this sort of arrangement, you know. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort,
yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the Riot Act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
about. Your blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I only had one diet Pepsi, though, so hopefully it won't be too bad. But I will see
Paul,
you.
Paul, according to this
you should be
test,
gone.
Your blood is carbonated.
It's like the Seinfeld. You have the, what is it? You have the urine stream of a 77-year-old
right.
woman.
And you're going to have to fill out a questionnaire because it's your first time, right?
So no,
you
probably same, have like, it's the same practice.
So it won't be, you know, number of times you drink alcohol per week. Define alcohol.
Oh, well,
Miller Lite.
I don't have any problem.
Right. The other day you told me you had a bunch.
One day.
You know, Paul drinks a lot of Diet Pepsi because inside his cap there's a code you can redeem on their website.
Not as good as the first one, but still funny.
I'm surprised right. I got that one out.
I am a little bit, too. I figured you'd stumble.
So I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yep. This is it. This could be it.
It's a privilege knowing you, Paul.
You getting the old rubber glove?
Oh, yeah. And twice on Sunday.
Well, he said, oh, yeah. How come you said no?
He should, Paul. He's walking out. He has to get
we
right?
have to have.
Plus, he pees a lot. That's a growing problem.
And right? You have to finish this the right way.
Oh.
21 gun salute for Paul.
No, I mean... he's over, what is he, over 60 now? every appointment he should be getting tested for prostate, right?
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Is it not over 40?
I don't know.
I thought it was over 40.
Yeah,
it's
over 40 you're supposed to.
I know, I've been having it since 20, but lights up a cigarette when he's done, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
And it happens on a Saturday night at my place.
I had my physical, and I thought they might have even upped it to 30, and I'm 28, so I was like, am I going to need to do this like in the next 3 years? And he was like, no, once you're...
Unless you want me to.
Did you offer him your rear end?
Yeah, I offered him.
Did you ask?
I stuck it up.
I'd really like
I feel like
it.
You know, I'm not getting the whole experience here.
No, I didn't do that, Andy. I just held my ankles while he walks in the door.
But
what are you doing?
But
you're
22.
I have picked my poor dad up on a yearly basis since he's got it. He always comes out all woozy and dazed and doesn't know where the hell he
I've
is.
Been assaulted.
Well, when I turned 50, I had to have the whole colonoscopy.
It's not how you say it, but I know what you're talking about.
What is it?
Colonoscopy.
Scuppy.
It's a scope
okay.
that they put up your butt.
I had that, yeah.
Did you have it at the hospital where they weren't cleaning the stuff?
I hope not.
Do you remember that was
Where's
a scandal?
Ugh.
It was around here. It was in New England. There was a hospital that wasn't cleaning like the tubes and whatever they stick up your ass.
Oh, that's nasty.
They were just reusing.
That is nasty.
It really is.
Wow.
You know what Paul's like? Remember, like in the old days, you can't do it anymore, I don't think, but like, I know when I first started driving, if you had like kind of a crappy car, you could find a shady place to get your sticker where they would like,
yeah.
They had a sensor. They're supposed to stick up the tailpipe, but they would just basically like hold it out in the air instead of like getting the actual reading.
Right.
That's what Paul's kind of. You don't want to get the actual
right.
readings because you don't want to know what's in there.
But Paul has an arrangement with his
right.
doctor. That's unbelievable.
The hush policy.
Right. It's like, just don't tell me. I don't want to know. Oh my God.
Wouldn't that? But it's funny, sort of. But like,
It's not really.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right! and he's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago. Right. Now he's got 3 months.
I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing him.
I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either. No, I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up. It used to be every February, she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
Because it would only last like a week.
Well, it's like my we make fun of Paul.
Well, you're laughing at you. No, did the same thing.
We make fun of poor Paul. Like my uncle, my dad's brother, is like a ticking time bomb. Overweight, probably more so than Paul. Eats like one meal a day and it's at night, so it all sticks to you. Smokes like a pack a day. Does all this stuff.
He'll probably live to 100.
No, and that's what my dad said. My dad exercises regularly, does all this stuff, and he's like, your uncle, my brother, has less aches and pains on a daily basis than
But is he fat?
My dad?
No, your uncle.
I mean,
he won't be around. I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
There are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
They're just not. You don't see fat old men.
But speaking of the doctor thing,
you see more fat old women sometimes than old men. Fat old men just don't make
it. Yeah, we have the same doctor, and I'll go in and be like, all right, tell me how my uncle is, and he'll never tell me what the hell's going on.
We got an arrangement, and it involves $200.
Somebody put a map out on Twitter the other day, and it was diseases that kill the most people around the world. And so all the map of the world was color-coded, and I think pink was heart disease. It's amazing how many countries that's the leading cause of death is heart disease around the world. Now, if you go to Africa, it was HIV/AIDS. You know, a lot of places of Africa.
Still?
Yeah, still.
Hmm.
Yep. But all of America and most other places, all heart disease.
And it's heart disease. But you also have diabetes is tied into that, right?
Probably that ties into something, that.
We just got all serious.
Yeah.
It was funnier when we were playing taps.
But I just
that was really funny.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall during Paul's conversation with his doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder
well, Doc, it's been 15 years.
All right, so let's get back to Nakware's email.
He goes by Q.
Okay. How do the running backs look? Are there any standouts thus far, and how do the young backs look? In my opinion, that's easily one of our most intriguing positions going into this year.
It is an intriguing position. I wouldn't say anyone has stood out really all that much. Roy Finch is interesting. Because he's so small, so quick, athletic, but he's so small. Like 100, and, I think he's listed at 167 maybe. That's tiny. And then you have the other end of the spectrum with like Jonas Gray, who's massive, has huge arms. Steven Houston, who I actually think has a chance to make the team. You know, they have three running backs that I think are locks. Ridley, Vereen, and James White, assuming they're all healthy. So is this a year where they're going to carry 3, 4, 5? I don't think Bolden's a lock. I don't think any of the newcomers are a lock. But I also think you need some depth there. You know, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Well, what happens in that normal time of year when Ridley fumbles and he gets benched and all that? Who's going to be the backup running back? I think you need one. And I think that's why it might be Steven Houston. But to me, no one has stood out. And I don't even, you know, Ridley we've talked about, I think he looks a little thicker. I don't know if that's good thick or bad thick. And Vereen has looked like Vereen.
I know we're just grasping here, but what do you think about this trade for Andre Johnson, Danny Amendola, Ryan Mallett, and a second-round pick? I think not only does this help upgrade our receiving core, but it also helps to balance the types of receivers we have. But is this trade you think both teams would accept?
I'm not sure the Texans have much interest in either of the two players, but a second-round pick would probably interest them.
Would the Patriots be willing to do it, and would the Texans be more willing to do it if instead of Amendola, it was Edelman?
Yes, I bet the Texans would be more interested in Edelman than Amendola because he's cheaper. And
he can do some more things.
He can. Well, I mean, Amendola is a punt returner, too.
Yeah.
And he was out there taking out of the jugs machine yesterday. Now, remember, you still got to pay Amendola, even if he actually costs, I believe, a little bit more if you cut him. There's an acceleration of... Then if you keep him this year, and you're going to have trouble fitting Johnson under the cap, so that's another added element. I haven't seen a lot of people send me interesting trades that involve players. Yes, I think the Texans would be looking for a second or a first round pick for Andre Johnson. I don't think they want Ryan Mallett and all the, you know, Ryan Wendell was one trade, and this, and it was like all people that the Patriots might cut.
Don't want, right?
Yeah, so why would they want him?
Finally, would you rather win three of the next four Super Bowls, solidify Brady as the best ever, Brady and Belichick as the best dynasty ever, and have them retire together and start over, or win no more Super Bowls under these two, but have essentially the same run we had under a new quarterback coach and win three more Super Bowls, but have basically 14 more years of dominance?
14 years of dominance?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Basically, he says win three or three out of the next four with Brady and Belichick, or win three with somebody else. I don't care.
Right. I'll take the somebody else.
Yeah, me too.
Because of the 14 years of dominance.
Right. Either way, I'm going to get three more Super Bowls for this team.
And either way, you're saying you're basically going to dominate the NFL for 28 or 30 years.
Because remember, fans, long after Belichick is gone, long after Brady's gone, we're still going to be here.
That's right.
So,
and also remember that long before Belichick was here and long after he's here, the Krafts will be here.
That's right. Right? That's right.
So if you're going to tell me, if I'm Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and the Kraft family, I'm going to dominate the NFL for 30 years.
Absolutely.
Sign me up.
That's right. Brandon writes in, and we'll take a break. I'm at the gym listening and hearing Paul ruminate about his health with taps in the background. It made me stop in the middle of my workout from laughing. All right, let's take a break right now. It's a little after 2. We'll be here until 3 talking Patriots.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. People often ask us, where do you get your tickets? Well, the fact is we have a full buying department that every day receives hundreds of offers from ticket sellers. We personally select only the best tickets to provide you the best value and provide you with legitimate tickets, all with our industry-leading 200% guarantee. At Ace Ticket, we own the tickets we sell, so we only sell tickets we would sit in ourselves. For over 30 years, Ace has been Boston's own ticket agency. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We all know what's happening with print publications. They don't matter anymore, and you have to do stuff like that to make it
hold
work.
Hold on, hold on. Patriots Football Weekly, I think, is a fine publication, John.
You want to know something?
Fred Kirsch does an excellent
Football
job.
Patriots Football Weekly actually is one of the few pieces of print like that, because we've looked at a number of businesses in the space that actually still is very financially viable as a print publication, and I give Fred Kirsch and his whole team
Perillo and Hart, the best in the business.
Yeah, yeah. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
I guess that's the best commercial you could get, right?
Yep.
The president of the New England Patriots out there on 98.5 talking about Patriots Football Weekly. But I have to thank Mike Felger for bringing it up.
Yep.
You know?
Mike Felger, Mark Bertrand with nice things to say.
Yeah, because Jonathan Kraft was talking about the demise of print publications. If it weren't for Mike Felger.
Right. Maybe, we would have been lumped into that.
Right. So thanks, Mike and Mark Bertrand, Patriots Football Weekly, for calling us out by name.
Although, what did Jonathan say? Very viable?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I mean, we're not the Wall Street Journal, you know, but we're doing all right.
I don't think there's any question about it.
We're doing okay. So, all right.
1-800-494-PATS if you want to join the fun.
That's right. And webradio@patriots.com if you want to email in here and join the fun, or 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Herman.
Wait. Or if you're in Australia.
Yeah.
1-800-429-286. That's 18-00-429-286.
Good day.
Good day, mates.
Did
they lose? Were they the AUS that lost to Netherlands?
Oh, it could be Austria.
I know. I didn't know.
I don't know.
You know nothing about soccer.
Not really.
I thought
yes,
you did.
That was Australia.
Australia. So Dan can't be happy. We got the Dan in Virginia.
Right.
And Aussie. Aussie.
Herman in Seattle has a couple things. One, will Eli Manning be the worst Hall of Famer ever? And two, when Fred finally gets Alzheimer's, will we be able to tell? That is kind of my shtick, though. You know, it's like kids get these concussion baseline tests, and they purposely do it so that that's what I'm doing right now, so that when I have it, they won't fire me.
We'll never know.
Right.
Until you put your underpants in the freezer.
Right. So.
Do you see that was the winner of the Myra Kraft Community MVP?
Oh, I feel
top,
lightheaded.
Top stipend or scholarship was a young philanthropist out of, I think I want to say, Quincy or Braintree, and he's done a lot with Alzheimer's.
He graduated high school at
18
or something.
Oh, yeah, and he's at BU working there also. But he wrote a book, and I believe the title is Why Grandma Put Her Underpants in the Refrigerator, and it describes Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
You haven't done that. Oh, I forgot to tell you.
What?
When I golfed on Sunday,
after
we ate and when I was about to get on the course, the buffalo chicken wrap that I had went right through me, so I had some issues in the stall. No toilet paper.
Oh.
So I had to waddle out with my pants around my ankles and waddle into another stall. No one came in, but I could think of was you.
It's not just
as
me.
As I'm waddling around, it was not good.
It's not just me.
I've had that happen, though.
It's an awful feeling. And this place was even worse because it had a straight-on door right into the dining room. So had anybody come in the door, my pants are around my ankles, and people would have seen me.
Speaking of Dan in Virginia, he says, I'm crying laughing from this whole medical discussion. I thought the 21-gun salute was Kevin doing to Paul what they do to racehorses when they break a leg on the track. Carbonated blood, blood diet, Pepsi levels, gold. Great stuff.
Gold!
So, good stuff.
It's all fun and games until he gets the report.
And Marco says, I think the "and Andy" came after Andy left to go to a new job at a school or something like that. I think he was gone for like 5 minutes.
Could be. I don't think that was, though. I think it predated. I think it was when I first started.
All we need to do is ask Rob Schuler. He'll know.
I'm not sure he will. He's been doing these things for like
17 years.
He's very smart.
And not just for us, right?
Oh,
he does all the stupid
stuff.
He's
a pro.
So, I mean, we're a ass. What do they call it? A pimple on his ass or something.
Yeah. And Dan writes in San Antonio, for those who claim Brady is over the hill and the Patriots are past their prime or time, please look at the Tim Duncan and San Antonio Spurs. The similarities between both organizations from top to bottom is uncanny.
Yes.
Yeah. Even their coaches bristles with the media.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the comparisons, the Patriots use that in their media relations press releases. The San Antonio and New England are the two great organizations. I think they use like winning percentage over this span here or something. They're very similar. You have Brady, you have Duncan. The coaches are similar. Now, Who won the MVP? Right? Leonard? Is that his name? Kawhi Leonard? Yeah. Well, that's the problem. The Patriots need to develop the young star that can help the others because you have the longevity. The one difference actually is the Spurs actually have more longevity. Their big three has been together, I think, 12 years.
Yeah.
Parker, Ginobili.
Popovich openly says that this is going to be Kawhi Leonard's team very shortly.
And we have that in maybe Gronk or...
You know, similar to the Patriots, they're always drafting near the end of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And they pick guys like Kawhi Leonard out of San Diego State,
yep.
Patty Mills out of St. Mary's,
yep.
That tiny little... They pick character guys.
The difference is, it's almost like had Gronk been healthy and Gronk won the MVP in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. That's the difference. The young, you still have Brady, who's the centerpiece. You still have Popovich, Belichick, but you need the young guy to slide in and say, I'm here to carry a big share of this load, too.
Yeah, but the problem with the NBA is when you get a young guy like that who has a lot of, you know, he has a lot of talent, but he needs coaching, you know, because he wasn't one of the high draft picks. If you have a guy like LeBron on your team and a weak head coach, that's not a place for a young guy to nurture. The Spurs is because you have a very strong head coach and your stars are team guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a place like where Leonard can you know, really thrive. This whole thing that's going on with the Heat, it's just crazy. I mean, first of all, they win despite their head coach. They win just solely on talent.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see when that talent is kind of iffy about it, they don't have a head coach that can rally the troops.
Right.
And now they don't listen to him.
I just actually, when I went to the bathroom, came back in, I saw Pat Riley held the press conference.
Oh, yeah, he had a whole thing. You know.
They need to be layered with younger players and blah. Well, you built this. I mean, this is what you wanted. And but now there is speculation. What's going to happen? Is LeBron going to opt out and go somewhere else? Or now the all three opt out or whatever it is, and Melo's going to join him, the big four? Part of the problem is Dwayne Wade has fallen off the map significantly, and he's still making $20 million a year.
Well, he's going to make 40, I think he's scheduled.
No, it's 40 over 2 years.
40 over 2 years.
It's 20 per year. But if he opts out, he's not getting that anywhere.
Right.
So he's not going to opt out.
So he's not going
and
anywhere.
So now, will LeBron just opt out and go somewhere else?
Yeah. All right. Speaking of other teams, it was in the news yesterday, the Redskins, who the Patriots are playing first preseason game.
They're going to be down there. Practicing there.
Yeah, they're going to be down there in Richmond, Virginia at their facilities. I guess the federal patent said that they are not going to protect their copyright anymore.
But it's under appeal already, so it's not really fine. And this ruling stemmed from a suit or whatever that I believe was filed in 06. So that shows you how long these things kind of unfold.
But the money train is headed down the track, and it's going to hit the Redskins eventually. They're going to have to change the name.
You know what I hadn't thought of? Because everybody said, well, you can go start if you want making T-shirts or jerseys with Redskins logos on it, and you can't be getting trouble legally.
Yeah, as long as you have the money to defend yourself when you get sued.
No, but you can't be. There's nobody going to enforce it.
But I thought that doesn't go into effect until
No, I know. But the other that's true. But the other aspect of it is businesses, advertisers, everybody can use the logo in their advertising without being the official floor of the Redskins. You can just use it.
Right.
You know, Redskins flooring or whatever you want, and they can't come after you. So that's another angle, advertising-wise, marketing deals, that sort of money. Right.
They're going to have to change it.
Right. And I said this to you, I bet you they have an alternative already in mind. Yeah.
Now, I am not in favor of the federal government getting involved in this.
I am not either.
I don't think they should. I in my opinion, I think the name should change, but I don't believe anyone's civil rights are being violated. Native Americans aren't being turned away at restaurants or forced to pay higher ticket prices or not being hired. You know, so there's no civil right being violated. So I don't think there's any need for the.
Right.
But
I agree.
I think it would have changed anyway.
Well,
eventually.
This is sort of my, the two things that could change it, the NBA style, like they did with Sterling, is the league. The commissioner and the other 31 owners say, change it or you're out.
Right.
You're changing that.
Right.
You're making our overall product look bad, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then the secondary is if it's such a bad thing, then let the market change it. People stop buying jerseys.
Right.
That hasn't worked because I believe last year RG3 was the highest selling jersey in football and it's Redskins and all that.
Right.
But it does. But now, did you see the FCC is looking into it?
Yeah, they're,
that basically you've been saying, you know, sort of like the N-word. If you went on TV and said the N-word, you'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
They're classifying it. There could be fines. There could be.
I think the
imagine that if we had to do the broadcast and you can't say Redskins.
The mistake made by Snyder was not keeping the name. It was being so adamant about not keeping the name, and that really got everybody's juices up.
Yep.
You know, and that gave momentum to the other side. Like, screw you.
I also don't really understand it. I told you this yesterday from his perspective. If you change your name, you have endless jersey sales.
Right.
And you're not doing it to make money. You've been asked to do it. You're doing the good thing before you put your, you know, bristles up.
Right.
So I.
You know, there's been opposition to this name for like 40 years now, but it was very quiet. It was small groups. And they'd be given a pat on the head and say, oh, you know, we'll look at it. And, you know, it kind of just went away. And then something would bubble up a few years later. And that's the way it's been going for 40 years. This really didn't start becoming the huge issue it is until Snyder came out with those statements.
Right.
And he screwed himself.
And then all your liberal friends, you know, the Bob Costases and the Peter Kings
got on
it. You know,
and everyone say, well, why weren't they saying things 20 years ago? I understand where people are coming, but it's never too late to be right.
No, and there's plenty of examples of things that were okay 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that aren't okay anymore.
Right. So, you know, they're late on the bandwagon. That's okay. That's fine. You know, but the point is, this wouldn't be such a big deal if Snyder hadn't been so adamant.
Now, my personal concern is, I think Redskins should change. I'm with you. Yeah. It's not the same as Indians.
Right.
But my concern is Indians, because Dartmouth Indians, that's where I like the Dartmouth Indians.
Right.
They're going to go too at some point, I'm guessing. And that one I don't think is quite as black and white, not to use a bad choice of words.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Because Redskins is, you can't argue, you're calling somebody
Redskins. Would you go up to a Native American and say, hey, Redskin?
No.
You just wouldn't do it.
Right.
So, okay. You
right.
Know?
Right. Yeah, I've, and We should probably say we had a Kraft Sports TV meeting, and this became the topic yesterday because,
well,
in part,
kind of like why we're talking
the broadcast. Yeah. We're doing the first game against the Redskins. It may be a topic during the week.
Right.
We'll be a week into camp, so maybe it'll have subsided a little. But for all we know, there's going to be people picketing or whatever. It could be a major topic there. And I just think, just move on. Make your money. Change it to the – now, could you change it to the Skins?
The Washington Skins? I don't think so. Well, that wouldn't make any sense.
No, I know. I don't know. If they're trying to maintain some sort of continuity – you can't change it to the Reds because the Reds already exist.
I would just find the closest Native American tribe to Washington, D.C. and name it after them. You know, whatever that is, the Chippewas or whoever it is, just name it after them.
Washington Chippewas?
Whatever it is, you know?
And then you'd be able to maintain a
sure.
Native American-looking mascot,
right,
or something?
Right.
Are you?
Would you
be able to? Would you? I mean, is that okay?
Yes. Or? Braves, fine.
No. But the
Seminoles.
Issue, they may be next in the Spears.
But to me, though, that is paying tribute to them.
But like the Indians, some people say the Indians isn't offensive, but Chief Wahoo or whatever his name is, the mascot.
Well, it's kind of a cartoon
right.
character.
So you go down that road. Or Braves isn't offensive, but the tomahawk chop or something is offensive, and that shouldn't be. This isn't going to end. I don't believe this will end simply with the Redskins. This is going to continue.
Rich from Red Bank says, if they were to change their name to the Washington Senators, can they sue the U.S. government? I don't know what that means.
Plus, there's...
Nice try, though.
And there's already a Washington Senators.
That's true.
Which is what I'm... Yeah, I don't know. Like the Reds, there's already a Reds. You can't become the Reds either.
Right. The bottom line is, the litmus test to me is, would you call somebody that?
Right.
I'd call somebody a senator if they're a senator. I'd call somebody a Brave if they're a Brave.
Well, that's why I don't think it's the same as, like, the Chiefs. Like, the
right.
Chiefs are the highest.
Exactly.
There's a pride in that.
Exactly.
But doesn't it feel like the way Snyder is, that it's almost like he's going to say, okay, I changed the name. We're now the Washington Negroes or something. Like, he's going to do something even more offensive. Like, he seems to me like a loose cannon, defensive, something like that. And it may not end pretty.
And the thing is, if they do change the name, anyone that's a Redskins fan is not going to
right.
disavow the Redskins.
Makes no sense.
So then he's not going to lose any money. He's doing this based on just stubbornness.
And if you really love the tradition, you still have your Redskins stuff. You still have the memories or whatever in your house.
Right.
But I asked you this yesterday. I wonder if there would be something where they would ban jerseys or shirts that say Redskins. If they changed their name, could you be stopped from wearing a Redskins shirt to a game? Is that now offensive to the point where...
I don't think you should be able to.
But I don't know.
I mean, I don't think you should be stopped is what
right.
I'm saying.
But I don't know if you would.
Yeah.
Where does it, because you're offending people. It's offensive.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't think there's any law about wearing an offensive thing, except in a private institution like a school. You can say to a kid, you can't wear that in the school. But
right.
if you're walking on the street, you're not going to get arrested. You might have to put up with someone yelling at you.
Right.
You know?
But
that's free speech on both sides.
But then there's the point, is it a safety issue? If you're at an NFL stadium, you're creating
an
environment that could lead to physical.
And that's up to the stadium, because when you
right.
buy that ticket, you have to, you know, adhere to those rules.
But now it feels a little fraudulent, because you're the Redskins who said Redskins was never offensive. Now you change your name, and I'm not allowed to wear Redskins in, and you're telling me it's because it's violated. Like,
right.
It's an ugly situation right
now. It is.
But I do think it's obvious. Redskins is offensive. I'm not offended by anything, and I know it's probably a minority. There's probably a lot of Native Americans that don't give a rat's ass.
Right.
But it's an offensive term.
It is.
So, but keep Indians.
Let's see. Wayne says, if you had to compare the level of talent in the... Oh, let's see. Another person calling in. What about the Washington Natives? I guess that's all right.
Is that okay?
I think so. I don't know. I have to check.
The Natives are restless.
We have to go to the PC Clearinghouse and see if that one's okay.
I would steer clear of it.
Yeah.
Personally, I would go totally Hogs. Remember they were the Hogs, the offensive linemen?
I mean, that would be good though if it's obviously referring to Native Americans and it's
Washington Warthogs.
And it's the Washington Natives, then you know, third down, the Natives are restless and get it going.
If that's okay.
If it's okay, yeah.
But what about the Warthogs or something? Play off the Hogs. That was their tradition. The offensive line and Joe Jacoby and all those guys.
Yeah.
Play something. You can't just be the Pigs, because that's not really. But Hogs or Warthogs or.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard to do. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to come up with cool new nicknames. We mock them.
Yeah, I don't like the names that don't end in S. like the Revolution, heat, for example.
Heat.
Yeah, Heat. I don't like that.
I don't either. You know? I find it very annoying.
I like names that end in S, you know, signifying a collective group.
But I also don't like some of the Pelicans. I don't really like the new New Orleans. It's hard to come up with a new nickname. I think a lot of them are gone.
Yeah.
Do we have a good nickname?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
I think it's a good, what it means is good, but it's tough when your mascot is a person. Then he's not really a mascot.
And I've heard people say that all mascots should be not people. That
right.
You should ban them all. Celtics, you know, shouldn't have a guy.
Right.
Shouldn't be a guy of any type.
Right.
And I like cats. I think the cats are something with claws and noises, roars.
Birds are good.
And, yeah, but only cool birds.
Yeah.
A pelican, really?
Eagles.
A pelican is not
Falcons.
Cool.
Falcons.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Not a
not
pelican.
Sparrows.
No.
Yeah.
Like ravens is cool.
Ravens is good.
You gotta be kind of, you gotta have a badass edge to you.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Which we don't really.
No, I mean, but I like the idea of Patriots and, you know, I've said it in some meetings, you know, about, I said, you know, we should own the whole patriotism thing. We are that. Let's just own it.
Right.
You know, go for it.
And it only works here.
Yeah.
Patriots would not work in California.
Right. Because this is the birthplace of America.
Right.
You know?
We're the colonies.
Right. So let's own that.
Sure.
You know?
What does that mean?
All in.
What does that mean?
It means embrace it, you know?
How have we not embraced it that we should be embracing it?
Oh, I think maybe a little bit more stuff with the military. Like, for example, if I was in charge of game day entertainment here, I would try to have like a military either band or group singing national anthem every game and make that like the house singer. Forget about bringing in Steven Tyler. Maybe in the playoffs or AFC championship, you go a little higher, you know, and you bring in a celebrity. But, you know, game in, game out, it's a military band that plays your anthem and that's it. It becomes a tradition and that's it. You know?
Okay. I like it.
You know, so little things.
I mean, we do have red, white, and blue and everything at our disposal easily.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of who we are. But like George Strait, he does a military thing in the middle of every single show. He has a tie-in with, homes for warriors or something where they give away a house to a wounded soldier every show. You certainly could have more of that type of stuff.
And I would have a 500-seat section every game, just military. Every game.
Free or how does that work?
Or maybe subsidized or something. I don't know how we would do it. Maybe a sponsor could subsidize it. And those 500.
That's what you need.
And those 500 seats go to the military every game. You give, you know, 250 to the Army, 250 to Navy, 250 Coast Guard and Marines, and they give them out to whoever they want.
That's good.
You know?
One of the things we talked about too, Fred, where, you know, how the Jets before each game, they'll have like first responders or whoever run out before the team. I don't know if we're going to go to that quite level, but having some sort of military presence during our intros. Whether it's a specific member or two or three of a certain branch for different games with the flag and stuff like that.
We are all patriots.
Yes.
I like it.
And I think that also, when you see the visual image of like before Brady coming out, you see three guys in camo with like the American flag.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's powerful. Well,
I mean, just look back to the Joe Andruzzi, the American flag image, and back then. Yeah. I mean, it's a little different.
The trick will be actually having people in there in the stadium at that time to see.
Well, you know, that's a separate issue. But it's still a visual for video and photo.
Yes.
That gets out there, gets used in more stuff, and it kind of grows.
And I even think, like, the opening intro video that pumps up all the fans, it should be a combination of football. And I know there's this backlash of comparing football to war and everything, but,
you want to hear,
you know, showing our military and stuff. And, you know, we're the Patriots. Paul Revere riding through the streets.
Hey! So I sent an email to our group, Fred, probably, like, it was just before Patriots Day. And I was like, I just had this weird idea in my head driving to work one day. I was like, for that walkout video that we play right before the intros, okay? Instead of old highlights or, you know, taking shots of people in the stands or whatever, why not play this, you know, this militaristic almost, you know, the drums, the military drums, something like that slowly builds, maybe a minute long. And we have our own Paul Revere, and we shoot a guy, like one of the musket men, for example.
What is this, Taliban?
No, with a camera on a horse, right? And have him ride through the Common, you know, Quincy Market. Have him go to New Hampshire, ride, a few places there, Vermont.
And then he rides into Gillette Stadium?
To incorporate all the New England states, right?
That's a good idea, because we had it a long time ago. It is a good idea, though.
And then all of a sudden,
it's a good idea.
And then all of a sudden, right before the intros, we have our Paul Revere.
That's
right. All dressed up. Come right out of the tunnel and lead the team.
Right.
And lead,
and I like thought, it. I like it.
That was my idea.
It's a good idea.
You know, Paul Revere never really made it, right?
He didn't?
Yeah.
Don't ruin the story.
No?
He got, like, stopped at some point. It's all
He didn't have enough money for tolls?
He got pulled over for speeding.
Well, no, he didn't. It's a tall tale.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin it.
But. All right. Dan in Lynchburg, Virginia, about the Redskins. They should change their name to the Pigskins. That way they could be able to keep skins, pay tribute to the hog tradition, and the term Pigskins is a historical football word.
I kind of like it.
It's not bad.
I kind of like it a lot.
Yeah.
We are football. We are the Pigskins.
Yeah.
That's a home run to me.
Okay.
Who is that?
I deleted it. But it's Dan in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Now, I wonder if that has been talked about down in that area, but
yeah,
that's
I like it.
Why is it, first of all, if we're going to get rid of things, why is he allowed to live in a place called Lynchburg? I mean, if we're at it, right?
What does that mean? There are people with the last name Lynch, right?
And do you think that's what it means?
I do.
I'm not sure.
I
know. Artie Lynch is a great tight end for the Dolphins.
Stephen Lynch is a representative in Massachusetts.
But Lynchburg,
it's right. Yeah, it has double meaning. Brian writes in, Fred, if you give out 250 seats each of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you'd have 1,000 seats, not 500. All right, so it's 125 each. Whatever.
I was wondering what you meant.
It's the overall point, you know.
I like it.
An allotment, you know.
I like a greater alliance with the patriotic and military themes. I like that.
Dan Snyder writes in, after Redskins change their name, Fred's people will start on the Patriots as to why they were old racist white men. Also, if we are to embrace the name Patriots, then maybe we should be red, white, and blue, for Christ's sake. I hate the silver Patriots. Yeah, I don't like silver either, except in the helmet. That's cool. But those jerseys, they got rid of those?
Yeah.
Those are terrible.
And I still keep asking, where are my red jerseys that I want? Red. Not, and I'm not talking throwback.
I know.
People
alternate,
always confuse
alternate.
That. Red.
Red alternate.
Red alternate.
Current.
Current scheme. I don't need you to change your helmet.
Right.
I don't need anything there. I need a red jersey. Where is it? Why? Now.
The Redskins got their name to honor the head coach who was an American Indian or something. Oklahoma means red people. Is that also offensive?
I don't think that's,
yeah.
I thought the guy who started the Redskins is a well-known racist.
He is.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Then.
George Preston Marshall was the guy who said, I will not have a black person on my team. This is in the 60s. I will not have a black person on my team till the Harlem Globetrotters have a white person on theirs. Meaning, I'm just not going to do it. And this is the guy who came up with it. Now, I will say, though, I don't think that they meant it to be offensive. But it has become offensive. And if they had thought long enough when they did it, they would realize it is offensive. So,
It wasn't offensive at the time to call somebody a Redskin?
Not according to Native Americans, but, like, in our culture, it was, okay. You know, just like we used to accept a lot of words that we don't accept anymore. But it was always offensive.
But that's my point.
To Native Americans, but they had no voice. And it was like, why do we even care about American football? Let them do what they want. Who cares?
Hasn't the N-word been offensive forever?
Back in the 1800s, it probably wasn't.
Oh, I don't think people said it in love. It was...
No, but
it was offensive.
But you wouldn't get in trouble for saying it.
No, but when you said it, it did not have a positive implication.
Absolutely, you're right.
So my point is, I don't think Redskin ever had a positive implication. You may have been allowed to say it.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it was said with the right intent or...
I agree with you.
So therefore, they should have never been the Redskins.
I agree with
you. It was never a praiseful word.
I agree with you.
Like, for example, if I name my team today the Fred Kirsch Fat Bleepers,
right.
I'm saying that's offensive.
Right.
I'm allowed to say it,
right.
But it's said with bad intentions.
I agree with you. Let's see. Josh is calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, Josh.
What's happening, gentlemen?
What's up?
Not a whole lot. Just you guys talking about the Redskin name and whatnot. It's actually kind of funny because Boston used to have a football team called the Boston Braves in 32, which then changed to the Boston Redskins in 1933.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And actually, before the New England Patriots came about in 1960, I hear that there was a request put in to bring back the Boston Redskins, which I'm not sure exactly how factual that is.
Hmm.
But the name, you know, being partially or, you know, a good chunk Native American myself, it's always been offensive. You know, it's never really been welcomed by Native American people. It's just something that people used to say because no one really cared what they thought. these days, no one really cares so much. Like, you know, I still go down to the reservation every once in a while, play lacrosse with the kids, and donate some of my old stuff to them. But, you know, me being a good chunk Native American, they call me, like, Whitey and whatnot. And, you know, when we're playing stuff, getting all competitive, I call them Redskin right back. Nobody seems to really give a care, but... You know, it's just one of those things.
But that's the separate, the N-word argument in the locker room, the players, are they allowed to, not allowed to? Did Jonathan Martin give a bit, you know, that's a whole separate layer to this whole racial thing.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not offended by Redskin, but I understand it's offensive to people, you know? So.
No, but if someone said you bleeping Redskin, I'd be offended.
To you?
Well, if I were.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's what
I'm
saying.
Like, I can put my, what is that, empathy?
In other words, the litmus test for me is not what I think about it.
No.
You know?
I'm an intelligent human being, and do unto others or put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
If I were a Native American and somebody called me a Redskin or something, if I were a black person and they called me, there's plenty of them, you know that I would be taking a swing at somebody if they called me that.
Right.
Yeah, you might happen to see a tomahawk come out right there.
Right. Yeah. I like how you said earlier you're off the reservation.
Yep.
So, Josh, can you get me one of those authentic Native American lacrosse sticks?
I can probably get you one of those. In fact,
I'll pay for it. I mean, those things are cool.
What is it?
It's the way they used to make the lacrosse stick, by bending the wood, heat it up, and it's like unbelievable.
Is lacrosse a Native American sport?
Oh, it is the. It's part of their culture. Are you
kidding?
You don't
have to look down upon me because I don't know.
No. It's,
he like got all like indignant that I didn't know that. The mouth like he was going to kill you.
No, lacrosse is the Native American sport. They invented it.
Now, I find that completely ironic that Native Americans who are struggling in this country on a lot of reservations and places invented a sport that is now widely known as an elitist sport.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think it's pretty ironic.
But,
you know, there are places where you can't get running water at Chief Running Water's house, and you're playing lacrosse at like all these schools up in the Northeast where Richie Rich is.
Right. No, but that is.
I haven't met Chief Running Water yet.
When Josh, you can back me up here. According to what I've seen, when a Native American baby is born, he's given a little lacrosse stick in his crib. Is that true? Oh, that's not. I thought that was true. I saw the thing on the Thompson Brothers. That's what they said.
It's a little stereotypical,
yeah,
too.
It's usually you'll get your person about the time you start walking and stuff like that. Just something to do. But usually, I've never heard of one being given to a baby in a script.
Really?
Makes for a good story.
It's on ESPN.
Makes a good
yeah,
story.
Okay, all right. Maybe it's more Canadian thing. I don't know.
Could have been. I mean,
wouldn't they get hockey sticks?
No, Canada is happened. Lacrosse is the national sport of Canada.
Oh, there are a lot of Native Americans in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Are they called Native Americans in Canada?
Well, no, they're not called Native Americans, but there's a lot of
Native Canadians.
Save this show, yeah. Renee.
No, there's a big population up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are they? Because generally, Native Americans have tough lives, right?
Yes.
The ones that are on the reservation.
Right.
Not like the caller who was off.
Right.
But is that how it is in Canada, too?
I don't know. Well.
That is interesting. I did not know that. Lacrosse.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
Next, you'll tell me they invented sailing.
No. All right,
golf,
Josh. Thanks for the call.
All the snobby sports.
Appreciate the input. I think he already hung up on us.
No, he just said bye.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a case where he was done with us before we were done with him.
Let's see.
Lacrosse sticks in the crib.
I saw it was a documentary on ESPN about Native Americans and lacrosse. Indians.
There was a movie that came out, I think, within the last 3 years too, about the
yeah.
You know what I mean? There was like a youth or a high school lacrosse team.
You're right. It was like Shooting Arrow
Something like that. Yeah.
Sounds offensive.
No, it was actually produced by Disney.
Yeah, it was a Disney movie, I believe. I think it was pretty popular at the time.
Yeah.
What's the ownership group? It was, what's the ownership lines in Washington? This Thurgood,
George Preston Marshall.
Yeah, him.
Thurgood Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall, the judge.
You know,
that would be
now
ironic.
It's Snyder, and there was, Jack Kent Cook.
Yeah.
They were in there somewhere. Yeah. Are those the only? I mean,
I think Snyder took it from Cook, the Cook family.
And was the Cook family racist like the other guy?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the other thing we need to realize is if we're going to start doing a lot of teams were started or owned by racists in the past 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, because there were a lot of white, rich, racist people in this country, if we've learned nothing from the Donald Sterling scandal. So you dig in a lot of teams' closets, and there's some racist skeletons.
Oh, sure. I mean, the Red Sox, the Yawkeys, I mean, yes. he was a racist.
Correct.
You know? Let's just face it.
And it's overlooked because he did good things for the Jimmy Fund and this and that.
Right.
And blah. But that's my point. I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of organizations you look through had racist backgrounds.
Brian's on the Ace Ticket Hotline from Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, you guys are killing me. There's so many comments about the lacrosse stuff and Native American stuff. I call for a different reason. I will say one thing, though. Why wouldn't they be called Native Americans in Canada?
True.
Well,
it's North America.
American.
No,
you're
I know.
Right.
I know.
Right. You're right.
So even the Aztecs, the Incas, those are Native Americans.
You're right.
But then you need to differentiate somehow, right?
You don't have to.
Well, you call them Aztecs.
Right. We gave this name. We gave the name America to this continent. They
right.
didn't.
No, I know.
You know.
But did Aztecs call themselves Aztecs?
Yes,
I think they did.
But the Native Americans didn't call themselves Native Americans.
Of course
no,
they did.
A general term for the people that were native to the Americas.
And now you have to say the Native Americans form, you know, in what is now Canada or in what is now U.S. or in what is now blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, okay. Anyways, I want to talk about one thing quick. Did you guys catch this whole thing with the Hernandez case where the lawyers are like suing or complaining that the Patriots aren't disclosing information?
Yeah,
subpoenaing.
They asked for medical records. The Patriots haven't replied, and so now they're looking
history,
to get a subpoena.
Yes.
Yeah, injury history, treatments, all this stuff.
Right.
Correct.
They're trying to
get
the
even testing. There was talk of like psychological or
they're
testing.
Trying to figure out his state of mind and well-being at the time he was here.
Yeah,
not good.
And so I called about this way earlier when the trial was starting to come around. And I think that this is kind of opening a can of worms. Like, now you can't hide that.
And well, that's assuming there's something to hide.
Well, I'm fully on board with you, Andy, in that there's a lot more than just concussion.
What did I say?
You say, like, the whole concoction of everything.
Oh, yes, like steroids or painkillers or... Yeah, there could
be
a...
Oh, so they're trying to build a defense that he wasn't in his right mind?
Could be.
Yeah.
Anything could put you in your not right... You know, CTE. If he had multiple concussions, if he was using X painkiller, which, you know...
He always used to take his helmet off in practice.
Right, maybe his head hurt.
He's confronted because the Patriots knew he was on steroids or HGH, and they had that on record, like, hey... You got to watch your stuff.
Right.
I'm
wondering, like, to me, I don't know why any of that would be on the record, like, in records. Like, if I were doing something like that, it would not be in files labeled, like, my steroid files, my this file. Like, I think you're going to get sprained his ankle and had a cortisone shot.
Right.
Now, if you want to try to spin because he had a cortisone shot, he murdered people, allegedly, that's one thing.
In other words, there's nothing different about him than any other player.
I wouldn't think so.
Right.
Now, the one concern I would have would be if I have any sort of security files or that type of stuff, more so than medical.
I wouldn't keep those on paper either.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But I don't know how all this stuff works. Right. We're... Uncharted waters here.
Yeah, and we're in uncharted waters where this is legal.
Yes, but the one thing I will say...
So the NFL...
All the reports out of some of the people that are covering this really closely states that no Patriots have been requested or subpoenaed or... It's been basically the organization as a general entity.
Yeah.
I'd be more worried if you started to see specific named... individuals being subpoenaed or requested or that would concern me more. Right now it's for the files of the New England Patriots, essentially.
Well, that's usually the first step.
Well, yeah, that's believe me, it's concerning, but we knew this was going to hang over this organization for a while. This was not going to be, it's all gone and, you know, we move on. That there was going to be some sort of a cloud here. And the cloud is both financial.
Oh, yeah.
The cloud is the trial. There's the cloud is the lack of talent on the football field. This is a multi-layered.
I
think it's going to get really ugly.
Well, I don't, actually. I think I don't. Because I don't think there's a lot there.
I think
the guy's a bleeping psychopath, allegedly. And I think if you looked in the files, even if the files exist, I think they could give you 20 players, 50 players, 100 players that came through here from 2000 to now who had red flags, who got pulled over, who, you know, they had suspicions, may have had bad friends. And you know what? None of those people murdered anyone. So their belief was, yes, he's a question, he's a this, he's a that, but they wouldn't have had precedent
right,
to believe.
Exactly.
Sure, right.
Sure, precedent is the key word there.
Well, but the flavor of the current flavor is the CTE, the brain damage.
Right.
Yeah, but people had, but they're talking about that going back decades.
Right.
So why haven't other guys?
But that's
going to
come up.
Right.
Sooner or later, right. Somebody with CTE is legitimately going to kill somebody else other than themselves. Right now, we believe
right.
Junior Seau, the guy in Chicago, yeah. They have killed themselves. They've pulled the trigger on themselves.
Yeah,
at some point.
Is there an old Pittsburgh Steelers lineman that like drove down the highway the wrong way?
Possibly. There's been a lot of these stories. Sooner or later, one of those stories will entail murder, and that player will use CTE and concussions as a defense.
As a defense.
I don't necessarily buy that Aaron Hernandez has a leg to stand on there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brian. Avery in L.A. says Native Americans in Canada are called First Nations. I lived in Vancouver, B.C. for a couple years.
As opposed to the, what is that, Congress of the Six Nations in Northern New York or whatever?
Yeah, and there's a Seven Nations tribe. I know that. There's an actual lacrosse team called the Seven Nations.
Well, plus a large chunk of our government was based on some of what those Native Americans did in those councils and stuff.
I didn't know this, but I guess the whole playbook thing with Patine, or Patton, whoever you call him, it's now called Playbook Gate, and Rex Ryan has commented on it.
Oh, what'd he say?
Comments from strippers, and he says, one thing I know for a fact, number one, I think it's disrespectful to New England, the comment.
So Rex is playing it above the board.
Yeah.
Which also lends me to believe he didn't intend the guy in New England doesn't have all the answers comment last week to be a shot. Because if he wanted to keep taking shots, he'd take shots. He didn't.
Right.
He chose not to use this as a shot. It's disrespectful to the Patriots. They're just good.
Steve Ra and Killeen, Texas, a moment of Patriots Nation love, if I may. Patriots Nation aligns perfectly with the PFW personalities. I am not going to name all the Patriots Nation's faithful because I don't want to omit anyone. But in general terms, I believe Patriots Nation breaks down into the following camps. Fred equals Patriots Nation homers, 14-2. Andy and Paul equal contrarians with facts, not opinions. Eric equals the kid brother we all love to pick on. John Rook equals the go-to football facts guy you'd gladly have a beer with. And now back to football. Who do you think has the best shot at being mini Gronk? Is that player even here, or do we find them during the season with some unexpected trade?
The only guy that I've seen that has any hope in that is the Justin Jones guy. Sometimes he looks like he has soft hands. He's tall. He certainly has an athletic basketball build, which is his background. But then I see him with bad drops, and he just seems so raw. He missed last year. I feel like I'm stretching what I see to sort of fit what I want to see when it's not really there. But he's the only guy. Otherwise, I think James Devlin's been the most impressive tight end out there.
Okay. David Monterey writes in, I got goosebumps listening to the Paul Revere idea. I like it.
I do, too. Okay. Now, would we own the horse, or are we going to rent a horse?
Yeah, we'd have to rent it. Oh, it had to be a white horse, too, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Show up better in the...
Why Dan Snyder?
It just show up better at night, I think, if you do any nighttime running.
What color was Paul Revere's horse?
It doesn't matter. This is for the movie.
So we'll give him a lacrosse stick, too.
Yeah. What does that have to do with it?
Because for the movie, they apparently made up the stupid lacrosse stick thing that you bought.
No, it wasn't a movie. It was a documentary that ESPN did.
A documentary is a movie.
Well, you know what I mean. It's not fictional. It's based on fact.
Oh, but it isn't. Have you not learned it watching all these crap, politicized, angled documentaries that they all have, that they're all fraudulent?
There was no reason for this. It had no agenda.
It made the story better. That's the agenda. They're trying to tell a good story, and sometimes they bend the truth.
It had Native Americans right on it.
Do you ever watch any of these things and think that you buy these? You watch these documentaries, and you think they're not biased? They're all biased.
Oh, of course. All of them, those that are made to get a point out, obviously.
And most of
are.
Them are, because they're all funded by an angle.
But this one seemed to be pretty objective. It had no angle.
But sometimes the bias is simply they're trying to fluff the story. That is almost a bias in and of itself. Well, and you bought it.
I'm buying it. And I'd like to get a Native American lacrosse stick.
Well, that's not the part that was fake.
An authentic one.
Right.
I have an old lacrosse stick on the wall, but that is the wood one. But I want one that was made.
I'm sure you can get one.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get one when we're down in Washington.
Larry's calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline from Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Larry.
Hey. A couple of things. One, the Indian thing. They are nations. It's the Sioux Nation. It's the Apaches. These are all separate nations, and that's why it's like Europe. You would call a guy from France still a European.
Right.
So you use that as the Native American. It's the big blanket that covers all the nations of the Indian.
Okay. Right.
Okay. The other thing, Paul Revere, there was a doctor that rode with him, a black man, and he actually was the guy who made it.
See?
He's a black guy, and it was hard to rhyme his name. I can't think of his name. He was a physician.
Typical. But you're right. So I knew there was fraudulence to that story.
Paul Revere because it was an easier... He used Paul Revere because it was an easier name to rhyme in his poem.
Yep.
And that's why Paul Revere became so famous. But, of course, your Gillette commercial that you run on your show says that he's no longer famous.
He isn't? What commercial do we have?
Gillette commercial that you run...
Once again, we're talking about these commercials that are wrong.
We got to start listening to these commercials.
Well,
yeah.
It's the big Gillette that they because of the stadium name, and they hook it to the Patriots, and that the three Super Bowl wins are more memorable than Paul Revere's ride.
Oh, yeah.
For some people, they are.
Well, but they're making it sound like it's the Walden...
Blasphemy!
...as opposed to Walden Pond.
Right.
I get so irritated. I turn it off when the commercial comes on. I just get so mad at it.
Although, Larry, when you first said that, we did get a lot of emails saying, of course they're called Walden Woods.
Okay.
Those are the woods that surround Walden Pond.
All right. When you studied English in Tufts, was it called Walden Pond?
No, but that was the name of the book, Walden Pond.
Right, and that's the famous name.
Right, but that doesn't mean that the woods around Walden Pond aren't in fact called Walden Woods. If you're referring to the book, you're wrong. It's called Walden Pond. You're right about that.
Right, and that's what they're saying, more famous than Walden Woods. Well,
okay.
It's Walden Pond that's famous.
Okay, all right. I can see where you're coming from there.
I can't listen to it anymore, so okay. I could be getting it. But anyways, it's a Gillette commercial. You asked me that last time, and I shall let you people.
And it's a bad commercial if it's driving people away,
because
that is
Larry.
Not the intention.
You want to listen to it?
Sure.
No. We're going to play a commercial now?
Yeah, it's a minute long.
All right.
Just to settle all this nonsense.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Did he say AFC championships 10 of the last 12 years?
No, I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Or did he say AFC East championships? Because
re-racket!
I think he said AFC, so that's wrong. And I would have gone with Walden Pond if I was writing
correct.
That. Yeah.
And yeah. I also, what's the real answer to that question? If you ask people from around the country, what do you think of when you think New England?
I would say Paul Revere more than the Patriots.
I don't think people would say Paul or Revere.
Well,
he says AFC East champions 10 out of the last.
Okay, AFC East. I didn't hear the East.
Because
okay.
I'm curious. I mean, Cape Cod. I think clam chowder would be pretty high, personally.
Sure.
I think clam chowder would be pretty high.
Clam chowder, lobsters.
Yeah.
Lobsters.
I think seafood and some of that would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Figure.
Skiing. Yeah.
No.
No.
I think we're also...
apparently the Kennedys will be high on your list.
We're well known for our driving habits, I would say.
Yeah.
Just coldness, rudeness.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I'm interested in this question. Like, if you literally asked people from all around the country, I don't know what it would be. Like...
Racism.
Is it?
No. I think New England is, like, rude. We're more tribal.
I'm okay with rude. I'm not okay with racism.
We're more insular. You know, I think we have that reputation. We're not as... outgoing and friendly.
Right.
You know? We like to keep to ourselves. You know, you're either with us or you know that kind of thing.
I'm fine with all that. That's how I feel.
Well, yeah, that's why you bought a compound.
I think that's an interesting, like, what would we say about, like, what's the cliche thing? Like, Florida oranges.
Yeah. Right.
I think
beaches, Disney World.
And now, like, stupid crime has become something that Florida's known for. It's become this cliche internet.
Stupid judicial system.
But
I think what Fred was just talking about, you know, in terms of a little bit cold, you know, not as outgoing, maybe not as warm or whatever. That applies to, I'll say, a lot of the Northeast in general.
It's old school.
Not just Boston.
It's old school.
Right.
I would include New York, Philly.
Right.
Like it's probably D.C. on up.
And then when you go to the heartland, you know, someone walks up to you and is like, hey, how are you doing? And they actually mean, hey, how are you doing? You're like, get away from me, creep.
Right. Well, you know, we're not nice because we actually have history and culture and all that. These new age people got nothing, so they better be nice.
Oh, boy. So
frauds. Phonies.
All right. Let's see.
Brian says
superiority over the fools who live in the South who can't hack it in the Northeast.
And that's true. The voice kind of sounded like the Behind the Music guy.
Oh, yeah?
Too. I'm pretty sure it wasn't him, but he had a similar type voice.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Monster Jam, Saturday, 7 p.m. Tickets still available. Be here.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Minicamp is over, so now, truly, the dog days of football begin.
Which means we'll still be here. Accent time. Fred,
Although I won't be here next week. but we'll continue with PFW in Progress throughout the summer every Tuesday and Thursday. We will see you next Tuesday.
It's all the same. You rolling up the block, but you in the wrong lane. You hating on a brother, man. You must be insane. I look good. I look good. I look exactly the way you wish you could. I look good. I look good.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.